It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show. The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuaid, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, he sort of spun that breaking ball. He's trying to watch the runner at second. He's having a hard time throwing strikes. You don't want to make a mistake. A lot going on.
Payoff pitch to Walker. Field end is out of here. Neil Walker with his 10th home run of the season. A 3-run shot, 2 walks, and then the blast.
Yeah, I didn't think he had a feel for his breaking ball, and he didn't. Look at this. This is a spinner. Cookie, middle, and I mean, it's gone as soon as he swung. Yankee Stadium? Are you kidding me? That's a 3-run Johnson that hurts.
Okay, serious question if you're a Red Sox fan. Serious question. How much more do you need to see? How much more do you really need to see? Does anyone honestly think that this is going to change before October? It's September 19th here. The season ends in 11 days, I think it is, right? Today's Wednesday. A week from Sunday, the regular season is over. The Red Sox are going to wrap up the division tonight or tomorrow night in all probability. If not then on Friday, whatever it is. They're going to wrap up the division in any day now. And whenever it is that they actually start, you know, playing playoff games, which will actually be October 5th, 2 weeks from Friday. By the time they get there, we're still not going to have any answers in the bullpen. So this is the part I think that you really need to awaken to. Nothing is going to change between now and October 5th when they play game one of the division series. So I'll ask Jimmy Stewart, our producer, if he would open up the phone lines right away. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock, as always. And do not minimize the importance of these next 2 days, next 10 days for the Red Sox. Okay, now you are literally in the final stages of fine-tuning your team. And Alex Cora, last night in New York, it happened to him again. And so you know what? We had a caller today on the Felger and Mazz show in the afternoon that brought up Alex Cora and says, well, what the hell is Ryan Brazier doing on the mound against a left-handed batter? And I keep wanting to call him Todd Walker. It's Neil Walker, right?
Yeah.
Todd Walker is the guy that played for the Red Sox. What is Ryan Brazier doing on the mound against Neil Walker, a left-handed hitter? Brazier's right-handed. Why is Brazier brought into that game? 1-0 game in the seventh inning. The Yankees put 2 on because Workman walks 2 guys and puts 2 men on. Left-handed batter comes up, and Brazier gets called in for the bullpen. Now, we answered this afternoon, but many of you weren't driving home at the time or weren't listening at the time. So there's an easy explanation for it. Murray, I don't know if you remember what the answer is. Why would Alex Cora bring a right-hander, Ryan Brazier, into that game to face a left-handed batter in Neil Walker with 2 men on in a 1-0 game in the seventh inning at Yankee Stadium? Why would he do that?
He's trying him out against a lefty. He wants to see if it'll work.
Bingo. Bingo.
And it didn't.
I mean, so this is what's happening. Right, the manager's trying to find something, anything that'll work. And the manager can say he's experimenting or they're looking for specific things from specific guys. But, and that's all well and good if they already had an answer. Like, you might be able to say, well, they have an eighth inning guy. It's Burns. He's Locke. And so why not try some other guys just in case something else comes up in a game along the way and you got to go to Ryan Brazier against a left-hand batter? Can he do it? So this is what Cora is doing right now. He's in his lab. And as I said today, he's got a couple of test tubes and he's doing it every night. And he pours them both into a beaker. And then you know what happens? He blows his face off every night. That's what it is, whether it's Bobby Pointer against switch hitters or right-handed batters, whether it's Ryan Brazier against a left-handed batter. Cora is trying to find out what he can rely on or what he can go to, how guys react to certain situations. And look, it's even hard to do because these games don't mean a ton to the Red Sox. They don't. They're going to wrap it up no matter what. But the closest Cora is going to get to a playoff spot at this stage, or a playoff situation rather, is the seventh inning of a 1-0 game at Yankee Stadium with two men on. Let's bring in Ryan Brazier to see if he can get a lefty here. Because if Brazier can do it against the Yankees in New York, he can probably do it anywhere. And by that I mean a lefty in New York, all you have to do is hit the ball in the air. All you have to do is hit the ball in the air. And in that ballpark, 50-50 as to whether it's a home run. So he brings Brazier in. Brazier hangs the slider. Ball gets into the seats. As it turned out, that ball would have gone out of a lot of ballparks as it was absolutely hammered. Okay, hammered. So Cora's looking at it and saying, well, I don't think I can go to that guy. He's looking at Pointer and saying, I don't think I can go to that guy. One or both will be on the playoff roster. But the point is, in any situation of consequence, the Red Sox don't have anyone to turn to other than Kimbrel, who is scented as the closer. When they get to the ninth, we all know Kimbrel's getting the ball. Whether or not you think he can do the job is a different argument. But we all know he's the guy. Okay, if Kimbrel fails, it's on Kimbrel. In the seventh or the eighth, Cora's got to pick the right guy. Or, in theory, it's on Cora. Even though we all know, really, it's on Dombrowski. That seventh inning last night, again, further crystallization of the problem the Red Sox have going into October. They have now blown 12 of 24 save opportunities. Half. 50%. They've blown 12 of 24 save opportunities since the All-Star break. And again, some of you want me to say that there's nothing to see here.
I mean, there's more evidence every single game now, it feels like. How anyone could continue to still stick their head in the sand and try to deny that there's no real issue with the bullpen.
Murray, it's a stunt. And at this point, honestly, I don't think there are that many people left out there who believe that. Steve's in Sudbury. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, Maz. I was just going to say, you know, it is. It's getting worse every game. But how come no one's talking about moving Eovaldi to the eighth inning setup role? I mean, I think he's got the stuff. I think he, you know, for the most part, pitches well when he starts, right? And pitched well last night.
He did.
How come no one's saying, hey, let's move this guy? And maybe Cora's waiting to clinch and then move him there and have him there next week and try him out. I mean, does that make any sense?
Well, so look, maybe this is something the Red Sox want to spring on the opposition. I don't know, maybe they think they're being clever or cute by it. Although, I think lots of people have suggested that Eovaldi could be the guy in the eighth. And with regard to using starters out of the bullpen at all, Cora was actually asked about this in New York tonight, prior to tonight's game, and it's David Price versus Luis Severino on the mound tonight. Good pitching matchup. We'll get to Price a little bit later. But he was asked about using relievers in the late innings, specifically in the same spot that he used Brazier last night, okay? And remember, Brazier came in with two men on in a 1-0 game. And I thought Cora gave an interesting answer.
The thing with him, October is different. Putting a starter in the middle of the inning, that's kind of tricky because even if we do it next week, do I feel comfortable doing it when in October? I don't know.
Okay, so again, and Cora actually specifically was asked there about Eovaldi. Okay, he was asked specifically about Eovaldi and going to Eovaldi in the eighth inning. And my guess is someone asked him a situation akin to last night, which was in the seventh, but with men on.
McAdam asked a minute-long question.
Okay, well, shocker. Right, the question longer than the answer, Jimmy. Is that what you're getting at?
It was.
Okay. So, look, I would tell you that, to me, this is an important thing to recognize. Cora might use Evaldi in the eighth, but bringing him in with two men on and asking him to get out of it? I don't know. See, and I don't know. Maybe Coy is playing coy there. Maybe he is, you know, hiding it from the opposition, but I don't think he is. It feels to me like Cora has answered questions pretty honestly this year. I mean, not everyone, not entirely. I mean, he told us we wouldn't see Mookie Betts in center field, and then we saw Mookie Betts in center field. But I think in this case, I think he's being fairly honest. And the point being is if you have men on in the middle of the eighth inning or even the middle of the seventh, and you need to bring in someone from that bullpen to get a big out, who do you turn to? And Cora basically said Evaldi's not in contention for that. So Barnes, Kelly, Brazier, Pointer, Hembry, go right down the list. And we went over the relievers yesterday. It really doesn't matter. They're all the same, if you ask me. One might be a little bit better than another. You want to tell me Barnes has had a better year than the other guys? Fine. You have confidence in Barnes, who in the eighth inning this year has walked an average of five batters per nine innings? In other words, the rate of his walks in the eighth inning, 17 walks in 30 and two-thirds. Over nine innings, that'd be five walks. Too many.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Matt Barnes, Heath Hembry, Doc Joe Kelly, and those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel.
He sort of spun that breaking ball. He's trying to watch the runner at second. He's having a hard time throwing strikes. You don't want to make a mistake. A lot going on.
Payoff pitch to Walker. Fielding is out of here. Neil Walker with his 10th home run of the season, a three-run shot, two walks, and then the blast.
Yeah, I didn't think he had a feel for his breaking ball, and he did. And look at this. This is a spinner cookie, middle, and I mean, it's gone as soon as he swung. Yankee Stadium? Are you kidding me? That's a three-run Johnson.
Admit it, Murray. When you created the wheel of gutless bums, you never imagined it would turn into what it turned into.
So I'm glad you said that today. So in making this today, I wanted to update it with Brazier, Brazzers. The original piece of production was made on May 18th.
May 18th. That's like, that's 4 months ago.
I never thought we would be this deep into the season, almost into the postseason, and we'd still be spinning the wheel of gutless bums, and that there wasn't really even another body added.
That's right, yeah, and that's the great sin, Murray, right? That is the great sin. Excuse me, that this weakness has been there with the Red Sox all year long, and that Dave Dombrowski did not add help at the deadline.
No, it's just been different permutations of their own crap.
I mean, it really is. It's astonishing. And the reality is we did it on May 18th, or you did it on May 18th, really. And the problem was there earlier.
Right.
The problem was there on opening day. Right, let's not forget.
Oh, right, yeah, in Tampa.
They blew the game on opening day. It was there, and it's still there. It is still there. They've had a whole season to fix it, and they haven't fixed it yet. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take your calls here this segment. Just a quick reminder, you can always listen to the Baseball Reporters podcast whenever you want. Just go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com, also on your phone or mobile device by getting the Sports Hub app in your app store. You can also listen to the Hardcore Baseball podcast with Matt McCarthy. So always baseball talk when you want it here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. As I said, we'll get to your calls here. I know a number of you have been waiting patiently already, so let's get to you. I answered a question before someone even asked it at the start of the show. So, Murray, I want you to listen to JR in the car, and I would like you to answer his question. Okay, Murray, go ahead, JR.
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to talk through, you asked why did Brazier come in to face a lefty, and I definitely agree that it could just be to see if he can face lefties, but the point I want to make is we don't have any lefties in the bullpen at all. Obviously, we're looking for bullpen help. I just think one thing that we don't talk about is we don't have one lefty that can come in that you could even think about having a lefty-lefty matchup.
Okay,
I'll hang up and let's hear you guys.
Yeah, so forgive me. I thought, JR, I thought you were going to ask why was Brazier in the game against a Neil Walker? And the Red Sox do have lefties. They have Bobby Pointer and they have Brian Johnson. And Cora has used both of them this month in situations to experiment with them, and they've both failed. So now he's using Brazier. He's used Pointer against a righty or a switch hitter, both, whatever, it doesn't really matter. Johnson against a lefty, they both failed. Now he's using Brazier against a lefty to see if maybe Brazier can get someone out on the other side. He failed. Again, it's like Cora's in that lab every night, and explodes, and whatever experiment he's conducting explodes, and acid hits him in the face. Okay, that's how it's working out for Cora every night, dipping into that bullpen. And you know what the right answer is? They don't have the guy. And if they don't have the guy, it's hard to blame the manager. Now, maybe Cora will nail this, and he'll hit all the right buttons in October, but that's a tall task to ask for any manager, let alone one with zero playoff experience. Okay, so to me, it comes down to the guys in that bullpen, what he has to work with more than it does the manager. Mike is in a car. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. I'm not a Red Sox fan, but I do like this team. It's my understanding that when Dombrowski was with the Tigers, he was heavy on all-star starters, Scherzer, Verlander, Price, but light on closers. This is my question. Is this team a mirror image of those Tigers teams, and we're going to expect the same result? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, so Mike, I think you nailed it. I think that we've talked about that Dombrowski, for a guy with such a big reputation and big resume, he's won one World Series, and his Tigers teams failed because they weren't good enough in the bullpen. Now this Red Sox team looks the same. Now look, ironically, in the last 2 years, under Dombrowski, their rotation has done them in. Okay, but I just don't understand how you have this kind of team and you don't add bullpen help at the deadline. To me, that is like an unforgivable sin for a general manager. Scott's in Peterborough. I'm just going to ask if people could go quickly because I see a lot of you on hold. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, they just heat stole my thunder. I don't think the Red Sox do have a lefty. And back in the days when they won championship, they'd bring that specialty guy in to get that out, and they don't have that.
So, Scott, not only do they not have that, but again, they don't have an eighth inning guy, period. It's not just about the specialty guy. And by the way, I told you that Alex Cora did deliver a piece of news today regarding the playoff roster. He said that it's likely that the Red Sox will carry three catchers. Okay, that means that Blake Swihart will be on the roster. And if Blake Swihart is on the roster as a third catcher, then in all probability, the Red Sox are only going to carry 11 pitchers. Now, look, they could still carry 12, don't get me wrong. But because Swihart's a pretty versatile guy and can also run a little bit, and so there are some variables there. But if they carry a third catcher instead of a 12th pitcher, then that bullpen, there are going to be even fewer options in that bullpen for Cora to go to. Maybe that's a good thing, actually. Charlie's in Arlington. Go ahead, Charlie.
Okay, in a potential playoff clinching game in Yankee Stadium last night, sixth inning, Xander Bogaerts, he loafed to second base on that double, if it was the sixth inning I'm thinking about. He barely got into second base. They almost tagged him out. It was ridiculous. And then he misread that bloop single by Nunez to the outfield, which would have been the second run, would have changed the whole complexion of the game. I'm just really disappointed in the way that guy approached that game in that moment last night.
Okay, so listen, Charlie, overall, and honestly, I missed that play. I watched a good chunk of the game last night. I didn't catch the very end. I watched it this morning. I missed the play you're talking about. But I would tell you that don't overreact to individual plays in these games by the positional players. Okay, the Red Sox are way in front. The division's over. So overall, they've played hard this year. Okay, they're way out in front. So don't stick them with that one. Okay, now again, I'm not telling you I condone it either because I didn't see the play. And you're probably right. But I'm not worried about that stuff right now. What I'm worried about is what they haven't had all year long, which is that bullpen. Okay, Jim Murray is your headlines. When we come back, I want to ask you a question about the Yankees, who won a game last night, albeit in unconvincing fashion. And in that ninth inning, wow, what a disaster. The Yankees really wanted to give that game away. Even so, do they scare you in October?
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mazz, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ground ball to third. Echevarria will start it, and he throws it off the glove. It's in center field. Holt is up and running. He's going to stop at third base. Well, that looked like a game-ending double play.
That's exactly what it was.
A little dribbler back to Britton. He'll fire down to second. He threw the ball. Brock Holt is in to score. They're safe at first and second. That makes it 3-2. And a comeback. Another ground ball. He throws that one on target on to first. Well, they open the door, but Britton gets the twin killing. And in the end, the Yankees hang on by their fingernails to win it by a final score of 3-2. So no clinch tonight.
Fingernails is right.
So it was an ugly ninth inning for the Yankees last night with Zach Britton on the mound. The Yankees had three chances to turn double plays. Three. Ultimately, they needed them all. They finally executed the last one on a comebacker. Back to Britton, they win the game 3-2. They failed on the two previous ones and made errors in the process. The second of which allowed the Red Sox to score their second run of the game. The inning began with Gary Sanchez missing a third strike on a pass ball. He made the throw to first, but it was a reasonably close play down there. The Yankees just, they are a flawed team. Far more so than the Red Sox, at least right now. But I personally, and I said this last night, I'm not changing my mind. The Yankees still would scare me in October. It's a good lineup. J-Hap shut the Red Sox down for the large majority of that game last night. And that bullpen does have some good arms in it. And so you make mistakes, that team will beat you. Now look, would the Red Sox be favored? Clearly they're going to win the division by double digits. Or they did win the division effectively by double digits. But do not discount the difficulty in winning games in New York in October. It's a hard, hard thing to do.
Yeah, I get it. Believe me, I've seen it too. And this team is, you know, they're not dead until they actually are and they're out of it. But it just feels different this year. There's an institutionalized stupidity with this year's Yankee team. And I think that starts with Aaron Boone. And you see it with guys like Gary Sanchez. Even the fact they mustered up, what, two walks and a hit against Eovaldi last night? And Eovaldi's, you know, he's okay at best. I don't know. They've been so up and down. And when they're down, it seems like everything goes wrong for them. The bullpen, the offense, they can't put hits together. Like, even with all that power there, like, they have some serious flaws, and I just think they're a dumb team.
Well, they are dumb. There's no toys about it, Murray. They are. Everything you're saying about them is right. I'm just telling you, I still respect sort of the Yankee mystique, if that's what you want to call it. And I think in October, it can bite you in the ass.
Well, what do you always say just real quick about that building there? Like that it's, you know, they'll jump on you. There's something you typically say about Yankee Stadium like there in the postseason.
So I just think that Jeter had an old line about it years ago where he says that in the late innings in New York, the ghosts come out. Okay, the ghosts come out. But I also think those final 6 to 9 outs at Yankee Stadium are the hardest outs in baseball. It is a brutal, brutal place to pitch. In the final six, you know, in the final six outs of a game, or, you know, last two innings.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, brutal, brutally difficult place to play. They're like bloodthirsty animals, those fans. They are. They salivate at the prospect of beating you in the late innings. It's a hard place to play. Should the Red Sox beat them based on what we know now? Yeah. I mean, they beat them handily here during the regular season. Maybe not head to head. I think it's what, 8-6 in favor of Boston right now with 5 games to go. But let me ask you, what if the Yankees sweep them this series? Like, they don't let you clinch on their turf.
Oh, they'll gain some confidence there.
It can turn fast. It can turn fast. Tim's in Attleboro. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, how you doing, Tony?
Good.
Three quick things. I'll roll them off, and then I'll hang up and listen. Okay, Cora blew that game last night. You said it 2 weeks ago, and Evan Drellick has been bringing it up. Middle relief it stinks, okay? Joe Kelly, get rid of him. But you and Evan brought up, our starters are only going 5 innings, okay? So last night we had Eovaldi, who started off really good, then he stunk. And last night, why he pulled him after the 6th inning, after giving up only 2 hits, why not let him go another inning? And you should have let him go 1 more inning. And you brought up about 3 weeks ago some relievers in the National League that at one point were like they were stoppers at the time. So right now, Dave Dombrowski, if he stays with
Tim, stick with Cora. Okay, stick with Cora. Do you really think that he would have managed that game the same way if it meant something?
No, he probably would have let him go another inning.
Okay, so I'm telling you, he's trying to find some stuff out. So he brought Workman into a 1-0 game to see what he would get. He walked two batters. He brought Brazier in to face a lefty in a 1-0 game with two men on. He gave up a 3-run homer. So he's got to find out how these guys are going to react in certain spots and wants to see whether or not he can lean on them in October. And I just think that, I mean, I chuckle at it because the fact that it's come to this, to me, is borderline comical. The Red Sox, how many wins do they have right now? Like 104, 103, whatever the number is. Okay, so they're going to finish with 107, 108, 110 wins, whatever the number is. And here we are with 11 days to go in the season. 11. And the manager is still spinning the wheel trying to find out who he can trust in the late innings. Like I'd be willing to bet that that is unprecedented for a manager to have a team that wins 110 games and not know who his second best reliever is. Like, that blows me away. Mike's in a car. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, hey, Tony. You know, you referenced just a minute ago that getting the last 6 to 9 outs at Yankee Stadium is hard. Let's not pretend that the Red Sox bullpen has had an easy time getting the last 6 to 9 outs out anywhere, including home at Fenway Park. They're lucky they have home field, but it's not a guarantee that they're going to be able to do anything, even at home. And I guess my question for you guys are, do you think that this team is really built to be able to win a 5 or 7-game series if there are close games?
So, Mike, instinctively I say no because of the bullpen. Okay, so I just think inevitably to win a World Series, you're going to have to win some close games. You're going to have to win them at home and on the road, and that means your bullpen's going to have to outpitch the other bullpen. So I think eventually in the American League, they're going to run into a team with a better bullpen than them. Whether it's Cleveland, whether it's the Yankees, whether it's the Astros, they all have better bullpens than the Red Sox do. So I know this team scores a ton of runs, but so do the Astros, so do the Yankees, the Indians not as many, but you get the idea. Ultimately, it's not like a computer game where you just say, well, the offense produces this many runs, so here's what it is on average, this is what you're going to get. You have to do it against their pitching staff. Again, last night, Jay Happ held you to 1 run. And then the Yankees gave you 5 outs in the 9th inning. 5. And you still didn't win the game. Okay? So these close games late, if you want to bank on being able to score against bullpens all the time, God bless you. Because when it happened with Cleveland earlier in the year, the Indians came into Fenway Park and shut you down. Michael's in Medford. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, just for argument's sake, Red Sox win 4 games in a row. They clinch home field throughout. Doesn't that close Cora's lab experiment? Because the rest of the games will be meaningless, which means we inherit Bonds by default for the 8th inning. They'd be better off clinching at the end of the season to give Cora more time with his laboratory experiment.
Well, so, Michael, I still think you can experiment here down the stretch. I mean, I suppose it takes the pressure off some of the pitchers. Maybe that's what you mean, that once they have the division, the pitchers lose focus, and I suppose there's some truth to that. But remember that some of these guys are also competing for jobs on the playoff roster. So whether they actually clinch or not, these guys are saying, if I don't pitch well, I'm not going to get the ball in the playoffs. And I'm certainly not going to get it in a big spot. I want to get to David Price, too, but first let's go to Tony in the truck. Tony, what do you got, pal?
What I'm just thinking is, if we clinch the division earlier, sooner rather than later, I think Cora would have a lot more time to plug and play with these guys in the bullpen and really try and get them going. Yeah, I understand they'll be a little bit more loose and relaxed, but that might actually even help them. Give them some more confidence to get and roll into the playoffs, and maybe we can see what we can get done.
Tony, how much more time do they need?
That's tough. See, I really don't know. I don't like the bullpen whatsoever.
Okay, and listen, nor should you. All I'm telling you is this. Cora's had plenty of time. He's had plenty of time. And I don't mean to say it in a way like Cora hasn't figured it out yet. There's nothing to figure out. They don't have the guy. We figured this out a long time ago. The fact that Cora has to audition guys at all in September is really kind of stupid when you think about it. Why does a team that is on pace for, call it 108 wins, just to make it easy, why does a manager of that team have to hold auditions and experiments in September at all? The answer should be there already. The fact that he's conducting these experiments and you know, throwing these guys into the fire is out of necessity because they don't have one. So now, I don't remember if it was you or the caller before who said, well, you know, Matt Barnes will come back. Fine. Listen, Barnes is probably the eighth inning guy right now. Great. How much do you trust him? Jimmy Stewart, our producer, looked this up earlier today. Matt Barnes has 17 walks in 30 and two-thirds in the eighth inning this year. That's an average of 5 walks per 9 innings. Way too high. And his ERA is over 4. Way too high. You're talking about one of the highest salary teams in baseball, having one of the most historic seasons in the game, the best season in club history, and the best season in baseball this year. And you don't know who you're going to give the ball to in the eighth inning because the general manager or president, call him whatever you want, Dave Dombrowski, did not go out and get help at the deadline on July 31st for a team that had everything covered except really one thing, and that was the bullpen in the late innings, and he didn't trade for a reliever. I find that unfathomable. Unfathomable. I can't believe that they're in this spot. With this team, this much at stake this year, that the manager's having to spin a wheel every night to find out who to give the ball to in the eighth inning or in any situation of consequence after the sixth. Unbelievable that they're in this spot. And if it costs them, ultimately, unforgivable. Unforgivable given how this team has played all year. This team deserved better than that. Dombrowski owed him something there. They deserved better than the manager spinning Jim Murray's wheel of gutless bums. Oh, it's incredible when you think about it.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.